Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. And we begin about halfway down with the third statement that we're going to be making about Mechamer. We had the first two yesterday that were made by Rami Bar Chama. And today we'll have a third statement, not by Rami Bar Chama, but on the subject of Mechamer, of leading an animal on Shabbos. And we'll pick that up with the Gemara, Rava Ahur the Rav Mari. Halfway down, Kuf Nun Dalet Omen Aleph. The Gemara is going to start off with saying, who said this Memra? And we'll have a question about which version is correct. So we start off with Rava, who was the brother, Ahua, the Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Rava, the brother of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. This is not the famous Rava that we have throughout Shas. This is a different Rava, who was the brother of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Now, it's very interesting that he is called Rav Mari, the son of Rachel. They don't mention his father's name. So we'll have to discuss this in a moment, and let's just read a little bit more in the Gemara before we discuss this. But the first version says that Rava is the brother of this person, Rav Mari, who is the son of a woman named Rachel, who was Shmuel's daughter. And the second version was, V'amilei Avua, the Rav Mari Bar Rachel, that this is the father of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. In other words, this would be the person who was married to Rachel, the daughter of Shmuel. And the obvious question would be, if this second version is correct, so why don't we mention his name? We should say Rav Mari Bar Rava. So Tosos in Baba Basra gives us an answer, and he says that since Rachel was such a yichasdika family, she comes from Shmuel, that the Gemara felt it was more appropriate to mention her maternal lineage, that he is the son of Rachel, the daughter of Shmuel, than to mention that he is the son of Rava. Rava was the Talmud Chacham, but not on the level of Shmuel. That's one interesting answer. But the Gemara now questions this entire subject and says, L'lishon of Asra, according to the Girsa, that Rava was the father of this Rav Mari. So then, Kasha, Hod Rav Achshire, L'Rav Mari, Bar Rachel, Umanye, before say, B'Bavel. That there is a whole separate question as to the halachic yichus of this Rav Mari Bar Rachel, and according to our understanding, and Rashi brings this down, his father wasn't Rava, his father was actually Isser Giura. Isser Giura was a bandit who had captured Shmuel's daughter Rachel and had relations with her while he was a guy. He ultimately converted, and this Rav Mari was born when his father had already converted, but he has no yichus directly to his non-Jewish father. And therefore, that's why he's referred to as Rav Mari Bar Rachel, because he didn't have a Jewish father. And therefore, the question came to Rav, that's the girsa that we have. Some have the girsa that it's Rav Ashi, actually, because of the time sequences. In any event, can Rav Mari Bar Rachel serve in a position of significance in the community? Because that has to be somebody with a pure yichus. And Rav, or Rav Ashi, whoever it was at Paskin, that he could be. And he made him, he appointed him to be a pursei bebavel. Rashi says it's like a minister, a certain type of shoter, a certain type of judge. And therefore, he felt that as long as his mother was Jewish, he could be appointed to this position of significance. Now, if Rava was his father, so then what's the question of his questionable lineage? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara gives one teretz, Dilma, Trey, Mari, Bar Rachel, Havu. There were actually two. There was the famous case of Isser Giura, and then there was this other case, which was Rava being the father of Rav Mari Bar Rachel, and for the reasons we mentioned, Tosfos and Bava Basra, Mistama, this Rachel came from a great lineage. According to this, it would not be from Shmuel, because Isser Giura was the father of this Rav Mari Bar Rachel, so this other Rav Mari Bar Rachel must have come from a different Rachel, not from Shmuel. In any event, some aren't even goreis this entire second part of the girsa here, and they delete entirely this opinion, V'amilei Avua, the Rav Mari Bar Rachel, that Rava was the father of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. In any event, this entire introduction over here leads us now to the question that what was said about Mechamer. And Habamas Nilei Lahosh Maisa. So this Rava, who was either the brother of Rav Mari Bar Rachel or the father of Mari Bar Rachel, said the following. And he said, he learned this Shmaisa Mishmei Rav Yochanan. And he learned about Mechamer from Rav Yochanan. And he stated that Rav Yochanan said that you're Potter, Liftar, that if a person is Mechamer, he's actually Potter. I'm Rav Yochanan, and this is what he said. HaMechamer Achar Behemto B'Shabbos, if somebody goes and leads an animal on Shabbos, you're actually Potter Miklum. You have absolutely no Chiv over here in terms of punishment. You're going to be over an Isser, but there is no punishment. As we'll see, there's not a Chatas, there's not a skila, and even a lav to get malchus, we'll see, he holds your potter miklum, you get nothing over here. So he says, read the Gemara, b'shogig l'machayv chattas, if a person accidentally did b'chaber on Shabbos, he would not be a chayv chattas. Why? Because the hook should call it Torah kula, levod azar. Like we learned yesterday, Shir, that the paradigm of punishment is learned out from avodah zarah, and by avodah zarah, it has to be a maisa, and mechamer was not a maisa. That's what we said in one of the answers yesterday. So therefore, you're not going to be chayv chattas over here. And b'meizid nami lo mechayev. Likewise, if you did it b'meizid, you're not going to be chayev, because we learned yesterday, and here Rabbi Yochanan agrees with this opinion from yesterday, d'tnan, ha-mechalot se-shabbos, the davar she-chayevim lo v'shigigo chattas, if somebody is mechalot Shabbos b'meizid, which something, if you did it by accident, you'd be chayev chattas, then the words it says on the side should be added over here, chayevim al zidono skila, not the al zidono skila, but chayevim al zidono skila. That's the more correct girsa, and this is the understanding that if it's the type of a sin for which you would be chayev chattas, if you did it by accident, then if you did it b'mezid with hasra, you would get skila. Implication being, ha ein chayavim al shigol chattas, in any case where you wouldn't be chayev chattas for doing a b'shogeg, such as machaber, as Rabbi Yochanan just said, so then, ein chayavim al zonos skila, then you wouldn't be chayev skila if you did it on purpose. And that's the low klum, that's yinach chayev klum, either chattas or skila. And furthermore, belav nami lo mechayev, you wouldn't even be chayev malchus. It's a lav, but you're not. It's not a lav that you be chayev malchus for. Why? Because the havali lav, shenitan liasoros mises beitzit. Because this lav is needed not to teach us malchus, but this lav, according to this opinion, is required to teach us that ain onshin ain masirin. You're not allowed to give somebody a capital punishment, skila, unless you are going to first give them a warning. So you need this lav over here, mechamer, to teach me the azhara, the warning, not to go and do this iser skila. And if you do it, then you can get skila. So it's not even available to give you a lav. And that's what the Gemara says. Davali lav, shenitan asoros misa spetz. And you need this to teach me the azhara, in case he were to do something like this, b'mezit, that he would get hasra and Mises based in the kol lav shenitan liasar is Mises based in. And since you need this lav in the Torah, not for the purposes of giving malchus, but for the purpose of giving an asar for Mises based in, ain onshin ela in kain masirin. So then, in this situation, ain lokin a lav. You don't even get malchus for such a lav. Again, it's a lav, but you don't get malchus for it. And Gora turns to the Yomid Beis. I feel about the Yomid Lokin. And even if you want to hold like the Man the Yomid says, even though it's for asar is Mises based in, you still can get malchus for it, even according to that man the Yomer. I feel the man the Yomer lokin. So then, you still wouldn't give malchus over here. Why? Because lichto rachmona, if it was the purpose to teach us to give malchus over here, the Torah should have just said lo sasa komulacha, instead of saying ata uvincha uvemtecha v'yechash v'shevecha, it just should have said lo sasa komulacha uvemtecha. You shouldn't do any malacha with your animals. Ata lomeli. Why does it add the extra word ata? So the extra word ata is essentially coming to separate your doing malacha from your animal doing malacha. When you do malacha, so then you're getting a punished. But if your animal does malacha, you're not going to get a punishment. Hu niu de mechayev. Behemto lo mechayev. The word ata comes to separate out that if you do a malacha, then you're chayev. But if your animal does a malacha because you let it, so then you're not going to get malchus, you're not going to get a chiyav of chatos or a chiyav of skila in that situation. Oh, this is the third opinion about mechamer. This is the one that Rava brings down in the name of Rav Yochanan. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Yigil chotzer achitzono, when you reach the outer courtyard, you put the item that you couldn't carry, you put it on your donkey carried it, and you're only allowed to do this until you reach the outer courtyard where it's now safe. Once it's safe, you have to take it off. Rav Huna says, if the animal was carrying clay zechuchis, glass utensils. So what do? You can't just toss them off. They're going to fall and break. So maybe karimuksosos, go and bring pillows and blankets and lie them down next to the animal, and then undo the ropes, undo the ropes that are holding these glass utensils onto the back of the animal, and then the sacks of glass will fall down, but they're going to be cushioned, they're going to fall onto these pillows, onto these blankets, and therefore they won't break. More questions. Why do you have to do this? No teles akelim when he told him Shabbos. If they're not muktzah, so take them off. So if this was a glass cup, so go just take it off. Why do you have to lower it down in this unusual way? It's not muktzah. The only problem was you're not allowed to carry it. So that's why you put it on the back of the chamar. But it's not muktzah, so go and take it off. Why do you have to do it in this abnormal way? So Gemara says, no. When Rav Huna said you do it in this way with the cushions, ki kam Rav Huna bekarnei de umna. He was talking about things that are muktzah. He's talking about the karnei are like the glass tubes of the umna. Umna here means a bloodletter, a phlebotomist. And they used to do bloodlettings. Now, nobody would ever take a glass of milk or a glass of soda in one of these bottles or glass tubes that the Uman used to go and take the blood out. So therefore, this is something that is muktzah, muktzah machmas mius. It's disgusting. And therefore, nobody would use this for any normal purpose. And therefore, it's muktzah. That's why you couldn't take it down from the back of the donkey, the lochazile, because it's muktzah. And you have no use for it on Shabbos. You want to let it down off the donkey. You don't want to make the donkey hold it all Shabbos long. So therefore, you can let it down this way by undoing the ropes and it will fall by itself. This is tiltul min atzad, and that's no problem. And it won't break because you put it on the pillows and the cushions. Where it says, wait a second, but when the glass tubes over here, the blood collection instruments that the phlebotomist is using, so now they're going to land on the pillow. So the pillow, which was previously not muktzah, is now going to be a basis l'davar muktzah, and it's not going to be able to be moved. And this is called mevato kli meichano. And you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to make a kli no longer usable on Shabbos. So how could you do this? So the Gemara says, no problem. We're talking about bishlifei zutre. We're talking about very small little glass utensils here, these little tubes that you collect the blood in. And the way Rashi understands this is, you first let them land on some pillows, and then they'll fall from pillow number one to pillow number two, and then to pillow number three, and then to pillow number four, which is right on the ground, and you just slide that off onto the ground, and therefore the pillows never become a basis l'davar asur. They never become a basis to something that's muktzah, and therefore you're not mevato kli meichano. Each of the pillows, it only had the glass pipette on it for a very short period of time, then it rolled from one to the other to the other. That's the way Rashi understands this. As you can see in the Dibra Masl, b'shlifei zutre, masuos kitanim, sheshomet hakar mitachteim, these are little glass tubes that you go and remove the first pillow from under them that they fell on, v'novla hakar sheni, and then they fall onto the second pillow. V'chein hachemagin laretz, and you do the third pillow, the fourth pillow, until the last pillow is essentially on the ground, and then you just pull that away, and the little bit that is going to fall from the last pillow onto the ground is not going to be high enough for it to break. So that's what we're talking about, b'shlifei zutre. Mara says, wait a second, still have a problem over here. Meisvei, ha'iso behemto tuno tevo v'ashoshios. Talking here, the following b'risa, that an animal on Erev Shabbos was carrying, it was tuna, was loaded up with tevel. Tevel, of course, is untithed produce, which nobody's allowed to benefit from. It's muktzah. You're not allowed to take off tumas and mices on Shabbos. It's masaking money. You're fixing it, now making it edible. It wasn't edible beforehand. So that's pure muktzah. And also vashashios, you have these glass utensils. Rashi explains, something called mashash, certain types of large pieces of glass, and the Gemara tells us that if the person had these on his donkey, on Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, so he has the tevel and the ashoshios on the donkey, so what do you do to get them off? You don't want them on the donkey all Shabbos. So when they reach a safe place, matir sachavolim, again, you untie the ropes, basakin of them, and the sacks over here containing the tevel and these glass utensils are going to fall onto the floor. And he says, no, va'afa pisha mishtabin. You're not allowed to put pillows and cushions underneath this, and even though these glass ashoshios are going to break, tough luck, what can you do? So this Bryce says, you're not allowed to go put the pillows underneath it. Kasha, on what we just said, go put pillows underneath it. That's what Rav Huna said, that you're allowed to go put the pillows underneath it. So Gemara says, no, the difference is, this Bryce that we just brought down, Hasam bechulsa, we're talking here about something called chulsa. Rashi says, these are large pieces of glass. Chatichos rechavos, shows chuchis, she'enum kalim. They're not utensils in and of themselves. What do? You have these large panes of glass, and then you cut them down to size and make them into windows. Rashi says, they're not kelim, but also men chalos, so make them into windows. Fikim the lekup say the b'shirosa. You have these large pieces of glass, which you're going to break anyway. So they're going to break into two, but you're going to break them into 10 little pieces to make them into window size. So therefore, the sofon lahachosich b'chatichos kitanos, You don't have a significant financial loss over here. Because let's say this big pane of glass breaks into two panes of glass, you're going to break them further into windows. So the nature of this type of a glass, this kulsa, is that it's going to break anyway. And that's why you're not allowed to go put the karim and the katsasos, the pillows and the blankets, underneath it. And he brings a raya to this. Daikonami, you see a raya, diktoni, it says, look at the brisa carefully. It says, it's like with tevel, dumya the tevel. It's juxtaposed to tevel in this brisa. And therefore, ma tevel delo chazile, just like tevel is totally muktzah, has no usage whatsoever, so too, this kulsa, afhocha nami lo chazile, it's not a kli, it's not a utensil, and it is therefore totally muktzah, and you can't put the karim and the ksasas underneath it to make it into a basas l'davar asa that would be mevato de kli meichano. So then why did you say, even though it's going to break? Oh my, afa pisha mishtabim, the Bryce said, even though it's going to break, tough luck. What's the tough luck? There is no tough luck over here. It's supposed to break anyway. So why did the Bryce say, even though it's going to break? Who cares if it breaks? Someone says, no. They bring the whole pane of glass because they'd like to cut it into the exact size that they want. Mal detemo lehetsid muat nami choshishu. You might have thought that, well, the large pane of glass worth $1,000. When it breaks on its own, so then it's worth $1,000, it's worth $900. As opposed to if you were to break it yourself with the special kalim, then it would still be worth $1,000. So for that little bit of loss when it breaks on its own, rather than when you break it, I might have thought that that's significant to allow you to go bring pillows and blankets, so kamash alone that you can't. Mal detema, I might have thought, lehefzid muat nami choshu, the rabbis were concerned even about a slight financial loss here, that a person's going to be concerned about this, and therefore we better let him put the karim and the ksasos over here, put the pillows and blankets over here. Kamash Malan, no, that we're not, and therefore you can't go put the pillows underneath this over here to save yourself this small amount of money. Tanya, we learned another brayso. If the animal was carrying a shlif shel tefua, Rashi says masri shel tefua shel tevel. Again, the animal is carrying a bundle of tevel. Now, you want to get it off the animal. So what you do is you put your head under one side of this sack, and you push it, and it will go to the other side, and then it will fall off. Instead of it being like a saddlebag, one side to the left and one side to the right of the animal, you put your head underneath it and pick up the left side, and it goes up, and therefore the weight of the other side will pull it down, and both sides will fall down on the other side. That you'll have to do. That's called tiltul minatzad, or tiltul begufo, and that is allowed to be done. One time Rabbi Gamliel's donkey had on it Erev Shabbos, going to the Shabbos, it was carrying honey on its back, and he didn't want to do this on Shabbos to take it off. He didn't want to take this dvash off the animal on Shabbos. We'll see in a moment why not. And therefore, he left it on the animal all Shabbos long until Motzi Shabbos. And unfortunately, it was a heavy burden for the animal, the Motzi Shabbos Mesa, and the animal died on Motzi Shabbos from the strain of having to hold this dvash burden on its back all Shabbos long. Where it says, why? But we learned, no tell kalim honey tolim. On Shabbos, you are allowed to take things that aren't muktzah off an animal. So why didn't he take this honey off the animal? It's not muktzah. It's perfectly usable, this honey. So why didn't he do this? No tell kalim honey tolim. So where it says, no, we're talking about kishi hidvish. This dvash had spoiled. Rashi explains that it became like vinegar, hichmitz. It became spoiled in some way, so therefore the honey had no purpose. So it says, hiddish l'maychazi. So it had no purpose. What in the world was Rabbi Gamliel doing with it? So Gemara says, no, it still has some purpose, l'chsiso de gamle. It's used as a medicine to put on the back of a camel. Rashi says, l'kosis shokumalim. The animal has a certain sore, a certain wound on its back, and you would put this spoiled honey on it, and that will heal it. Incidentally, honey is a medium that we use today in wound care, in wound healing, and bacteria don't grow well in honey, so it's actually something that's actually tried and true, that you can use various honey products to help heal a wound. So they would put this salve on the camel's back, and that's what this spoiled honey was, this vinegar type of honey, that's what it was used for, to go heal a wound. So the Gemara says, that's why Rabbi Gamliel carried it. That's why he had it on the back of his donkey. Gemara says, so why didn't he go, v'yatir chavolim, undo the robes, v'yiplu sakin, and let the honey fall onto the floor? Why not do that? Gemara says, mitzdu zike, because it would have broken, and then all the honey would have spilled out, and it would have been ruined. Gemara says, V'yavi karim uksasos v'yaniach tachtem. So again, make them with the glass. Go bring pillows and cushions. Go bring pillows and blankets, and go and put them underneath. So when the sacks fall, they'll land on these nice soft pillows, and they won't break. The ziki, these jugs of honey, won't break. So the Gemara says, no, mitnefe, the cushions, the pillows, the blankets that they would fall on would become ruined. They would become tinuf. They would become spoiled from the honey. And as a result, you'll be mevatel them from being used that Shabbos. They're all spoiled. You can't use them for anything else. So you've made them into muktzah. Before they were kalim, they were usable. And now you made them not usable. This is a problem of stira, of destroying something, of being mevatel kli mehechano. And that's why you couldn't do this. Where it says, okay, but the alternative was to leave it on the donkey. And as we saw, Nebuch, Rav Gamliel's donkey died after Shabbos. So there's a tzar balichayim issue over here. Tzar balichayim, it's an issa daraisa, Rashi says. And therefore, why don't we say that the issa daraisa of tzar balichayim should push aside this issa darabanan of mevato kli mehechano? As Rashi says, v'leisa daraisa v'litchei darabanan bitu kli mehechano. So why don't we say that? So the Gemara answers, this is a big machlokis as to what is the status of Tzar Balei Chaim. While there is the opinion, which is lahalocha lemaisa, that it's a Tzar Balei Chaim is an issa daraisa, however, Kesava Rav Gamliel holds Tzar Balei Chaim derabanan. He holds it's only an issa derabanan. And therefore, one derabanan can't knock off another derabanan. So the derabanan of Yinalani Mimavato Kli Mehechano, so that goes and can't be pushed aside by the derabanan of Tzar Balei Chaim. That's why Rav Gamliel didn't take the honey off his animal. Mark continues and says, Abaya Ashkei Leila Rabba. Abaya found Rabba to call Mishafshef Le Livrei Agaba Dechamra. He was going and sliding his son on the back of a donkey on Shabbos. As Rashi says, he was playing with him, Lishasheya. He was going to keep his child occupied. It was a Shabbos in the afternoon, and he was babysitting. Masama, his wife, was taking a shluf, and he was taking care of the kids. So what happened? He was playing with sliding his kid down the donkey. That was his slide. So Amalei, so Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rabba, he says, Komishtamesh Baram Bebalichayim, how are you allowed to do this? You're not allowed to ride on a donkey on Shabbos because you may come to pull off a branch. So this is the Rabbanan. You may come to pull off a branch to hit the donkey with. So therefore, you're not allowed to ride on the back of a donkey. So how could you put your kid on the back of this donkey, Komishtamesh Baram Bebalichayim, which is Asur Rabbanan? So Rabba tells him, Amalei, Stadin Hey, no, I'm not using the back of the donkey, I'm using the side of the donkey. Not the back, Utstadin, the side of the donkey. This whole issa derabanan, did you come to ride on a donkey? It's to ride on the back of the donkey. You may come to pull off a branch from a tree and hit the donkey to make it go faster. So therefore, that's why you're not allowed to ride on a donkey. But here, I'm just having the child slide down the side of the donkey. That's never included in this issa derabanan. How does he know this? Mino Temra. Someone says, this is a Mishnah. It's not our Mishnah. Matir Chavolim Vasakim Noflin. How are you allowed to go and remove the glass items or the muktzah items for the donkey? You untie the bags that are attached to, like, the saddle bags to the left and to the right of the donkey. You untie them. Vasakim Noflin, and they'll fall down. Now, my lav bechever gul guvalke. Aren't we talking here about this is like a saddlebag? You have one on the left side, one on the right side. And in order to go and untie it, you have to lean on the donkey. So when you're leaning on the donkey, that's using the side of the animal. And yet it's allowed. The Havalit Stadim, so you're leaning on the side of the animal. And nevertheless, Utstadim lo gozubu rabbanan, the rabbi said you're allowed to untie them. So therefore you see that the Stadim, the side of the donkey, is allowed to be used. That's why Rabba, here's a raya from a Mishnah, that's why Rabba says you're allowed to go and have his son slide down the side of the donkey because you're allowed to use the Stadim of the animal. That's not included. Where it says, Labdavki can't be right from a Mishnah. Where it says, no, we're actually talking in a Mishnah, Bechever, the girsa that we have is Agluvaki. Others have a different girsa, Agluvaki. In any event, this is talking about a different type of a saddlebag. This is talking about, Rashi explains, where they're held together with some sort of a clip, or they're held together, as we'll see in a minute, with a lachta, with some sort of a ring, and you stick something into these two ring structures, and then you just pull it out. This doesn't require leaning on the animals. Lo bechever agluvaki, and the lo havut stadim, and it's therefore not stadim, you're not using the side of the animal. Inami belachta, you're talking about a certain type of a ring structure, Rashi explains, where you have something connecting the two rings, and you just pull it out, and in these situations, you don't have to lean on the donkey at all, so therefore you can't be miraya to Rabba, letting his son slide down the side of the donkey from our Mishnah. Where it says Eisve Shtayim Bidei Adam Yachas Beilon. Now we have a question from Sukkah, and we'll see from Sukkah: are you allowed to use a side of a tree or not? And that will bring a riot to our discussion here about studim. So the Gemara starts off and tells us as follows: we have a Mishnah in Sukkah. It states the following: if you have two walls of a sukkah must be two walls and something. So a minimum size of a sukkah is to have three walls. The third wall doesn't have to be complete. In any event, if you have two that were made by a person, in other words, they're perfectly good walls, and the third one is an ilan, it's made by a tree. So that would be a perfectly good walk, Shera. Making a sukkah, it's perfectly fine. However, Vein Olam Ba Yomtiv, you can't go up onto it on Yomtiv. Rashi points out we use this lashon of Vein Olam Ba because most of the sukkahs were up on the rooftops. So that's why we use the expression of Olin La, but Lav Dafka. So you're not allowed to go into this sukkah on Yomtiv because we're concerned that you're using the tree on Yomtiv. My Lav, isn't it because how was this third wall made? The Chok Bei Ba'ilon, the tree wasn't the wall. The tree, they put in certain types of grooves or holes into this tree, and then they inserted the walls into the tree. So the tree is holding up these walls, these boards. That's the third wall, which we call the tree. And therefore, the habuluhut stadim, this wall is now the tzadin of the tree. And it says here, you're not allowed to use it, tzadin asur, you're not allowed to go up into this sukkah on yontiv, because you'd be using tzadin. So this Mishnah and sukkah says you're not allowed to use tzadin. How can Rabba, who's an Amora, disagree with the Mishnah and allow his grandson to slide down the side of the donkey because tzadin amutarim? Here it says tzadin arasurin. He says, no, you misunderstand. He didn't make holes in the tree and then put the board into them, or make some sort of groove in the tree and put the board into them. No. Lo, the kafir le'ilan, he actually bent the tree. He actually bent the tree, and the tree was the wall itself. Not that it was holding the boards, but the tree itself was the wall. And the schach went directly on the tree. So you're getting shimush directly from the tree itself. That you're not allowed to do. The komishamish be'ilan. That's why you can't use this tree on yontiv. Where it says, if that's the case, we got a bigger problem. Ihochi, the Eimah Sefer, keep on reading. That Mishnah, which says that if two are made by man and one is made by the tree, it's good on a weekday, but you can't be used on Yontif. But it says, Shalosh B'dei Adam, if you have three of the walls that are made by a man, and the fourth one, the Achas B'ilan, the fourth one is the wall, which is the tree, which we're saying now means the tree was bent over, so then Kshera, it's certainly good. Nobody doubts that. But V'olim Lo B'yontif, but you're allowed to use it on Yontif. But how come? Be the Kafi Elilin, if you're saying that the tree is bent over, am I Olim Lo B'yontif? How are you still allowed to use it on Yontif? You're getting benefit, Komishtamesh B'ilan. And it should be that it's Usser, because it's regardless of the tzadim, it's the tree itself. So why should two walls from man and one from a tree not be good? Because you mishtamish bilan. So three walls from man and one from the tree, you also mishtamish bilan, it shouldn't be good. Elamai, so what are you going to say? Tzadim asurin. So okay, so then it must be like Abai saying that it's tzadim. And the tzadim is the problem. So then sof, am I only on yontif? So in the last case, so how come you're allowed to go up and on yontif? It's still studdin. Either it's mishtamish v'ilan, or it's studdin. Whichever way you want to learn it, like Abaya, it's going to be studdin, and it's usur. So how come you're allowed to use it? So we're stuck no matter what. Someone says, you're right. Elohosom begavza parsichna. What are we talking about? That we're not actually talking about bending the tree. Who would bend the fourth wall for a tree? The tree into the fourth wall. You don't need it. So that's a lot of work. But instead, we're talking about that there's a lot of branches, there's a lot of tree that you're using as the fourth wall. Not that you're bending it over, but all the branches and the leaves and the foliage, they're all going to be part of this fourth wall. And therefore, the ilan gufe dofen bi'amu d'shavi, you're making the tree into a fourth wall. But the schach isn't being supported by it. So therefore, that's why you're allowed to use it, because you're not getting any benefit from the tree. And I'll show you that this is right. Daikonami d'toni. I'll show you. Look at the Mishnah carefully, because it says, Zeh klal. Kol ilan shenino, tel lo ilan v'chol lamod. Anytime that if you took the tree away, the sukkah wouldn't fall down. So then, the tree is obviously not really supporting the sukkah. So the tree is unnecessary, and we view it as if it's not there. And therefore, olo b'yontif, so you're allowed to use it. Oh, that must be the case. If the three walls are made by man, and the fourth wall is the foliage of the tree, and the tree is really not necessary, and no schach is on it, so then you're allowed to use it. Shmamina, that's a good raya. So we can't bring a raya against the rabbah from this Mishnah, because it may not be talking about tzadin. Okay, Mor says, let us say this machlokas between Abaye and Rabbah, are you allowed to use the side of the animal or not? That's actually a machlokas tanoim. Where do we see this? It says, and also in the following brisa, regarding sukkah, in olam b'yontif, you're not allowed to go up into a sukkah on yontif that is part of a tree. Rav Shimon was a mayor, Rav Shimon was the name of a mayor, olam b'yontif, you're allowed to go up into it on yontif. How come? So the Gemara says, my lab, Hakamili, isn't this exactly what they're arguing about? The two walls are made by the person, and the third wall is made by the tree. The Ma'ar Savar, it's studded and asurim. The third wall is that board that you put into the tree, and it's studded, and studded or asurim. That would be the opinion of the Tanakhama that says you're not allowed to go up into the tree. Ain't only beyantiv. And then the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar, Mishum Rav Meir, says no, studded and mutarim, or Ma'ar Savar mutarim. So that's exactly the machlokas, isn't it? Someone says no, not necessarily so. Amar Abaye, lo, that's not the machlokas. In fact, the Kuli Amot Stodin Asurin. In fact, both of them say that Stodin is Asurin. You know what they're arguing about? V'hacha Bitzidet Stodin. One level further removed. You have like the Av, the Rishon, and the Sheni. This is one level further removed. The tree is the Av. The sides of the Stodin is like the Rishon. And then the Tzidet Stodin is like the Sheni. V'hacha Bitzidet Stodin Kamiflugi. This is the side of the side. That's what they're arguing about. The Tanakhama says even Tzidet Stodin is no good. And Rav Shimon Elazar, in the name of Rav Meir, says that tzidit tzadim are good. That's what they're arguing about. Ma'ar sovar tzidit tzadim asurin, ma'ar sovar tzidit tzadim mutarin. That's the machlokes tanoim over here. On the other hand, Rava disagrees. Rava Mar, no. Man di osa bit tzadim, also nami bit tzidit tzadim. If you say that tzadim is no good, then tzidit tzadim is also no good. So the Tanakhama says it's no good no matter what. And Man di shari, the one who says it's good, says but tzidit tzadim is good. So even shari nami bit tzadim, even tzadim is good. So Rava says there's one opinion that goes for both. Either Tzadin or Tzidit Tzadim are good, or Tzadin, Tzidit Tzadim are no good. There isn't a half and half. That's Rava's opinion. But more challenges Rava's opinion. Eisvei Rav Mishar Shil Rava. Rav Mishar Shil questions Rava. And he says, Noat, if you stuck a peg, and we turn to the Omid Aleph, Yosei Be'ilin, if you stuck this peg into the tree, you banged in this peg into the tree, and Vitolabo Kakola, and now like this nail that's in the tree, you go and hang a basket on it. Now, you're going to put an Erev in that basket. An Erev has to be reachable for an Erev to work. Let's say an Erev Tchumim, an Erev Chatzeros. It has to be reachable in order for it to work. So in this case, the person wanted to extend this Tchum. So he put this food, this two meals over here, he put it into his basket that he hung into this nail that's into the tree. And he put it there to establish that as his residence, his Shvisa for Shabbos to make his Tchum start from that focal point. Now, if it was l'malam yasar tefachim, if this basket was higher than 10 tefachim, then ein eruv o'erev, this isn't going to work, because how is he going to get to it? It's out in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, but the basket itself is Rishus HaYachid. So how is he standing in the Rishus HaRabim going to take the food from the inside this basket, which is Rishus HaYachid, and take it out and eat it in the Rishus HaRabim? So therefore, it's inaccessible. If it's inaccessible, it's not considered an eruv tchumim. So therefore, any Ruva Eruv, because it's above 10 Tvachim, so therefore above 10 Tvachim is no longer Rishus HaRabim, it must be Rishus HaYachid, and therefore it's no good. However, Lamatim Yasar Tvachim, if it's below 10 Tvachim, so then it's accessible, it's over here, able to be taken out, Eruvo Eruv. So then, he's allowed to go and take it out. It's a perfectly valid Eruv. It's considered part of the surrounding Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it's not a separate Rishus by itself. Now, the only reason he's allowed to go and get this is because this basket is hanging from a peg, a nail, in the tree. And therefore, he's not getting any benefit directly from the tree. But if he didn't put the nail into the tree, the peg into the tree, so then if it's lower than Tvachim, he wouldn't be allowed to take it out because he'd be benefiting from the tree. But this basket is on the side of the tree. This Tana doesn't let you do from the basket that's hanging from a branch on the tree, because that's stodim, that's not allowed, but the peg, which is tzidit stodim, v'kshari, the tzidit stodim, allowed. But he does allow you to take it from a peg, to put the basket on a peg that's on the tree. So this Tana, this is a Tana. How could Rava argue with the Tana? This Tana clearly says that there is an opinion that says stodim is no good, the tree, hanging the basket on the tree is no good, but tzidit stodim on a peg onto the tree is good. So how can Rava say there's no Tana that holds like this? So I'm Rav Papa says, no. Here we're talking about a very narrow basket. And the only way he would be able to get the food out of this basket, the body, the shalkal eliyarev, when he's trying to take the food out of the basket, the only way to do this would be to move the tree. So therefore, even though in this situation it is attached directly to the tree, it would be allowed, because he normally allows it. This opinion of Rava says there's no difference between studden and seeded studden, so it would normally be allowed, but here it's not allowed because you have to move the tree. That's why it's not allowed. But otherwise, whether the basket's hanging from the tree or from a peg wouldn't make any difference. It would be allowed. Or, alternatively, both opinions would say it's not allowed. So, therefore, that's why this case is different. How do we paskin? The Gemara says, Hilchasa tzdadin asurin, stidei tzdadin mutarim. We, in fact, paskin like this opinion that says that tzdadin are no good, and stidei tzdadin, however, are good. This has a huge halacha l'maaseh ramifications, as the Gemara is now going to tell us. Amar Ravashi, hashad the amar tzdadin asurin. Now that you're telling me that tzdadin are no good, you can't use the actual side of the tree. So, high dargo de madla. If you have a ladder and you want to lead the ladder to get to a high place and you want to lead the ladder on a tree, so you're not allowed to do that. You want to get to a building and you put the ladder on a tree so you can climb up to get to the top of this building. So, lo lincha inish adikla. You can't go lean the ladder on the tree and then climb up the ladder and go into this building because you'd be benefiting from the tzadin, the havalit tzadin, and you're not allowed to do that. So what should you do? Ela linche agavoze levar midikla. Go and lean the ladder on some sort of a peg that's coming out of the tree. Now, you're not leaning on the tree directly, but you're leaning on the peg that comes out of the tree. That's sidet stodim, and that is allowed. Furthermore, when you do climb up the ladder, chisolik, as you go up the ladder, be very careful. Linach kare agavoze. Don't put your foot on these pegs. Make sure you're always putting your foot on the rungs of the ladder, but not on the peg that's attached to the tree, because then you'd be using the peg, which is the tzadim. So you're only allowed to use the ladder that's attached to the pegs. That's allowed. And likewise, el lisnach akonin. Make sure when you go up or you go down that you don't put your foot on the peg that's in the tree, on the thing that you stuck into the tree to support the ladder. Don't put your foot on that. El lisnach akonin. Go put it on the rungs of the ladder. And in this way, you're using tzidit tzadim, which is allowed, but not tzadim. This has halacha l'maaseh ramifications for people that have some sort of a hammock attached to the tree. So if it's attached to, the hammock is attached to nails that are put into the tree, but not to the tree itself, then it's allowed. If you have a tube that's hung from the tree, you're not allowed to do this. But if it's hung from pegs that are in the tree, then you'd be allowed to swing it on Shabbos or Yontif. With this, we conclude today's shiur.